someone that is able, and I would say, dare say, willing to keep watch over us. Amen? Well, you know, we've
been running through the book of Titus. I think if I'm correct, we're in study number, well, I got 16, but I think it's 17, actually. Number 17, our studies in Titus. So if you will, grab your Bible there, and we'll look at those verses tonight. Titus, at the close of it, we're going to go through the end of the chapter and talk about the last things that Paul brings up. And I'd say generally this is the way that Paul concludes most of his writings. He comes in with a salutation in the beginning and sort of what we would call a benediction in the end. He closes things up with some greeting and some fellowship kind of things and talks about and to the people that are there. So that's what he is going to do here at the end of this book. So if you will, look with us in the book of Titus chapter number 3. We read down, of course, last week we were, or not last week, but last time we were talking about those that he was warning people to be careful of those that would be causing issues and problems in the fellowship. And he talks about how to avoid or how to get rid of or deny the heretic any opportunity to take over in the church, because that would be one thing that would destroy all of these things that he, along with Titus, had tried to build in the church. So he's telling Titus, he said, look, we understand those things are going to happen, those people are going to be there, but we need to build a strong base, a strong foundation for these folks, so let's do that. Let's get them grounded, let's get them made sure and firm in all the things that they need. So we're going to look at this, though, tonight, and we'll conclude this, as I say, as he talks about the truth about friends. We've been talking about this being foundational truths and all the studies we've been doing. So this is going to be a foundational truth about friends. And notice with me, if you will, in verse number 12, as I say, he's already talked about, you know, the things that are doctrinal and people being devoted to the work and the things of Christ. Then verse 12, he says, when I shall send Artemis unto thee, or Tychicus, be diligent to come unto me to Nicopolis, for I have determined there to winter. Bring Zenos the lawyer and Apollos on their journey diligently, that nothing be wanting unto them. And let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. All that are with me salute thee. Greet them that love us in the faith. Grace be unto you all. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you, Lord, again for the evening. Thank you again for the good songs and the worship that there is in those. And now bless us as we worship in the Word, as we look at these things that you've directed our way and that you've spoken to our hearts about. And I pray, God, we might just be able to lift up the name of Jesus. And I pray you give honor and glory to your name and to your Word tonight as we look into it. Help us, and may we just look to you for some foundation as we understand these truths, as we hide them in our heart, as we learn more about you. And again, we'll just give you praise and glory for everything you do. We love you tonight in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. As I said, let's look at the truth about friends. And by the way, I'm not talking about the TV show, okay? Friends, all right? But, you know, that thinking about that television show is predicated on the fact that there was a bunch of folks together. They were all friends. They did all these things together, right? So that's the idea that we have here in the end of this. You know, you don't sometimes think about the cast of characters, if you will, that are there with Paul and all the things that he's doing, right? I mean, you see Paul, and you see Paul talking about you know, the things maybe that he did, or the things that that he emphasizes, or the person that he's writing to and how he's explaining to them. But there's a whole cast of folks there with Paul that are praying, that are helping, that are doing their part in the work of God. And I believe if you'll understand that, as you and I ought to, hey, that's the way God intends for the church to work. It takes the whole cast of all of us working and laboring together to get anything done for God. So Paul concludes this. As I say, he's given everything to Titus, and he says, okay, here's the doctrinal, and here's the dispensational, here's all of these things I want you to understand. Here's the way they're supposed to live, and the things they're supposed to believe. He's worked through every bit of that. And then he comes down at the end of it in verses number 12 through 15 and gives his conclusion. Paul gives his, and it's always a heartfelt. It's always from the heart of Paul to give this conclusion about the things that he wants to say on a real, I guess you'd say really more than anything, this is the personal nature of this. So look, women, let's talk about what Paul talks about. Let's look at it and see what he says. First of all, let's talk about some faithful friends. Faithful friends. Can I tell you, thank God for faithful friends. Amen? I mean, we are glad to have them, need more of them, and man, we're blessed when we have some faithful friends like Paul had. And you notice that Paul is telling Titus, he said, look, you're there, you're working, you're doing the work. He said, but when I shall send Artemis unto thee, or Tychicus, be diligent to come unto me to Nicopolis, for I have determined there to winter. And then he says, bring Zenas the lawyer and Apollos on their journey diligently, that nothing be wanting unto them. So let's talk about those four guys, if you will, and notice, first of all, some things about them. I want to say this. These men, and maybe particularly as we talk about these first two, these men are to be called to be vital to the work. There are some men that God has instructed and can use that are vital to the work of God. Now, that's not to say that all Christians aren't. I mean, I think we all ought to see ourselves as vital, but there are some folks that are just on a mission for God. Amen? They're on a mission for God. There's some guys, and as we'd say, hey, that we just got to have them. And Paul says this. He says, look, I'm sending someone to you. I'm going to send Artemis. He says, or it may be another man by the name of Tychicus, and that I'm going to send them to you so that they can relieve you in that work there in the little island of Crete. You're going to come to me, and that's the idea behind this whole little section is, he said, you're going to come, but I'm going to send somebody to relieve you. Did you know that when we have missionaries, a lot of times that come in here and they say, well, we're on a furlough. We've left our land that we're in, our work that we're in. We've left and come back over here for, sometimes they'll come, say, 6 months or a year or whatever it may be, visit their churches that are supporting and do whatever they got to do here. And, you know, they'll do those things. But as they do that, they've got to have somebody back over there where they just left. Now, a lot of times, those men will try to have a national pastor to help them. But there are many times I've known in time past when somebody from here would go over there and take over that work or sit in the place of that missionary until he got back over into his area. They would do it. And you know what? Thank God for fellas that'll do that. Amen? There are some missionaries that we've met here. They've come in and they say, well, preacher, our mission is this. We are a mission of helps. And the first time I guess I ever heard that, I was like, no, what do you mean by helps? And they say, we just go where those missionaries are and we help them in whatever they need. If they need to be gone, we'll be there for them. If they need somebody to help them build buildings, we'll go help them. If they need somebody to go out and work the area, get tracts out and invite and you know, get people, try to get them into church, we'll go help with that. They just are missionaries of help. Now, I don't know that we'd term these two men, Artemis and Tychicus, as such. But can I tell you this? I believe they were ready to do whatever needed to be done for the work of God. Amen? What are you saying? I'm saying they're vital to the work. There are some folks and some things, they're vital. You know how you could look at that? You could say these men would be vital in the work because they made sure that the work did not cease. Now, if Titus left, and maybe there's just a young Christian group there, or they're young in their faith, hey, somebody could come in and do some of these things that Paul is concerned about. There could be some heretic. There could be some wolf in sheep's clothing come in and tear them all apart, or come in and take them over, or come in and brainwash them, or get them off their doctrine, or whatever it may be. They could. But Paul said, I'm going to send somebody to you that'll help you so that the work doesn't cease. Amen? And also, and I'd say that's a vital issue, but also Paul says it's vital because I need Titus to come to me. Titus, I need you. There was some particular reason. I don't know that we ever really see it or find out what it is necessarily. But Paul is saying, Titus, I want you to come over here. I need you to help me. Don't know with what or how or any of the particulars. We're not told that. Don't need to know that. But, you know, it was vital for Paul to have Titus to come to him. Amen? So, you know, as I say, these men are vital in the work. And let me just tell you this. Let's look at these two guys just for a minute. Artemis, this is the only time that his name is mentioned in the New Testament. That's the only time you'll ever hear this fella, Artemis. In other words, we don't know too much about him, but can I tell you this? I believe he is a faithful friend to the work of Paul. I mean, if Paul was willing to say, I'm going to send him and relieve you, I don't think Paul's going to send anybody over there that couldn't do it, that hadn't been battle-tested, that hadn't been tried. He said, I'm going to send him. Also, you'll notice that name, and it's a very unusual name. Y'all know anybody named Tychicus? Any of y'all got any friends? That's what they named her baby. Amen. Betty, is that what they named that new baby, Tychicus? No, it's not. Okay. Well, I'm surprised, aren't you? We don't see that name too much anymore. But Tychicus is probably a common name over in the Greek culture back in that day. And he was a man that is mentioned several times in your Bible, though. When you look and you see Tychicus, he is mentioned four times by Paul. He mentions him over in the book of Acts in chapter number 20 when he's on his way toward Ephesus, or the elders of Ephesus. He's going to meet with them one last time. And Tychicus walks with Paul on his journey. So you've got him mentioned there. He's also mentioned in the book of Colossians in chapter number 4. He's mentioned in Ephesians chapter number 6 at the end of the book. In 2 Timothy chapter number 4 toward the end of that book, Paul talks about how that he's got Tychicus and he has some confidence in the fact that he is a man of God. Amen? And I'm telling you, that's who Paul is going to send over to take care of the work as Titus comes out. I'm sending you somebody, but I'm not just sending you anybody. I'm going to send you somebody that can help. Amen? So he's faithful, and these men are faithful because they're vital to the work. Not only that, Paul says, look, this thing about friends, he said, I need your friendship with me so I can experience and be glad of the victory that we have in the winter. And you say, what in the world does that mean? Look here what he says in the middle of this verse. He says, when I shall send Artemis unto thee, or Tychicus, he says, be diligent to come unto me to Nicopolis. Nicopolis. And if you look up that word Nicopolis, Nicopolis means victory town. It's... Y'all, everybody in here knows this. You've seen shirts, pants, and shoes with a little swoosh on them, right? And everybody knows, oh, that's Nike. Well, Nike is the name, and it was a Greek god, that the city Nicopolis was named for. And it means Well, Nike is the god of victory, in other words. He was the god in the Roman mythology that they thought that whenever they had a victory, they owed praise and whatever to him. So they named a town after him. They called it Nicopolis. Paul said, I'm going to Victory Town, and I'm going to stay the winter there, and I need you to come and be with me in the place of victory. Thank God. Aren't you glad? Hey, there's a place of victory for me and you. Winter is a season in the life. And it's probably really spiritual winter as well as physical winter in Paul's life. Paul is entering this stage where he's been in Roman imprisonment. He's already been let loose. And many of the scholars say this. Paul went down to Nicopolis, and there he was arrested a second time by the Romans, or taken into custody a second time as they had let him go, and they, you know, they wasn't sure what they were going to do, and finally Caesar sends for him, and they arrest or recapture or retake, I don't know, however you want to look at it. They get Paul back in custody again, and they take him there at his victory town. But can I tell you, he still got the final victory, didn't he? He's still a winner. Amen. Hey, you and I have to understand that sometimes the winter season comes in our lives. And what I mean by winter, it's a cold season. It's a bad season. It's a terrible season in many thoughts and many ideas. I mean, you can think about the harshness of winter. You can think about the cold. You can think about the neglect. You can think about how that it's not a place where too many good things happen in the winter. It's, you know, we want to get through that and get to the spring, right? Amen. So you can sneeze your head off. Somebody say amen right there. Get all the pollen going. You know, the winter time's kind of a tough time. And Paul said, I have determined that I'm going to spend my winter in a victory town, and I want you to come and be with me. Amen? I want you to come and be with me. I need you. And again, we don't know why. As a matter of fact, if you go over in 2 Timothy, in the latter part of 2 Timothy, you'll see that Paul tells Timothy the same thing. He said, I want you to come to me. And when you come, he tells him, bring me a cloak and bring me the books and especially the parchments. And he tells him some other people to bring with him because, and he talks about John Mark because he's profitable unto me in the ministry. So Paul at the end wanted to surround himself with some folks that he felt like, boy, he had the victory in his life. And a lot of these folks he wanted to share some of that with in their life. So second thing Paul talks about is, you know, there's some friends, but he has a friend here that he wants to spend a winter in the victory town with. But not only does he say, you know, these friends are vital to the work and it's a victory place for the winter, but he says they're valuable in the Word. And by the Word, I mean the Word of God. Look, if you will, at these other two fellas. He says in verse 13, bring Zenas the lawyer and Apollos on their journey diligently, that nothing be wanting unto them. Now, again, let's talk about those guys just for a minute. Zenas, Z-E-N-A-S, Zenas, this is the only time that his name is ever mentioned in the New Testament. I mean, the idea here is that he is a lawyer. Now, that doesn't mean what you and I think. It's not the same thing as all these guys you see on television all day long that says, you know, call us and we'll get you if you've had a wreck. No, he's not that kind of lawyer. The kind of law that he seems to be dealing with is the Jewish law. He seems to be a man of scholarship and of being learned in the ways and the things of the Jewish law. He's a man that knows about the scriptures of the Old Testament. He's a man that's well versed in the Mosaic law. He understands a lot of those things. And can I tell you, when you think about that, man, you understand that this is a guy that's valuable in the things of God and in the work of God because, man, he knows about the Word of God. Amen? I mean, you need some folks that are your friends. I'll tell you, the best friends you can have are some people that know the Bible. Amen? And that will counsel you from the Bible, and that will direct you, that will answer your questions, that will give you info. When they do, it's all Bible-based. You know what you got sometimes? You got people that say, well, here's what I think about it. Well, sometimes it really doesn't matter what you think and how I feel and what we've got to say. What does the Bible give us direction on? When you've got an important decision, when you've got a church decision, when you've got a life decision, you better seek God on what is going on. Amen? That's what we need. We need to seek the Lord. We need to ask Him. And Paul says, I want you to, these two men, what the story appears, he says, bring Zenas, the lawyer, and Apollos on their journey diligently. It appears that these men somehow have relayed to Paul that they're going to be coming to him, and they're going to come by way, maybe they're coming out of Greece, we don't know, Macedonia, whatever in the biblical days. Maybe they're coming through and they're going to come by boat by way of Crete, and then they're going to come on way. And Paul says, hey, when they come by there, you come with them on their journey. He said it's going to be Zenas, the lawyer, and evidently Titus knew him. And then he said, and Apollos. And he doesn't say much about Apollos. He doesn't have a title necessarily. But we have met Apollos before. Apollos has been in your scriptures again in Acts 18:24. Let's just flip back there just for a minute. Let me get into that. Acts 18:24. And notice what the Bible tells you about this. Now, they're trying to get the church is being established, and Paul is, you know, on the circuit preaching and whatever. And look in verse number 24. It says, and a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, that means he came from Egypt, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, being fervent in the spirit. He spake and he taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. What that means is Apollos was a preacher supreme. He was a great spokesman. He was an intelligent man. But the greatest asset was he knew the Word of God in the Old Testament. Amen? He knew the Word of God. And the Bible says here that, you know, he taught diligently. He was instructed in the way of the Lord. I mean, he had heard John, and he maybe got baptized by John. However that happened, we don't know. But he finds Aquila and Priscilla, and they say, hey, can we tell you, after they heard him preach, can we tell you about Jesus and the fulfillment of the Scripture? And he heard them, he believed them, and then he started preaching about Jesus. Amen? So what I'm telling you is, Paul has found him some great assets in this work. They are valuable to him because of their knowledge and their skill and their help in the Word of God. And Paul needed them. That's some faithful friends. But second of all, let's talk about some fruitful friends. Look, if you will, back here in Titus in verse number 14, and he says this, and let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. Now, Paul is telling Titus here, he says, but he says, let's let our folks, those that are Christians there in Crete, if you will, let ours also learn to maintain good works. Now, Paul has just instructed Titus. Look how he's just instructed him. He said, bring Zenas, the lawyer, and Apollos. He said, bring them on their journey diligently, that nothing be wanting unto them. You know what he's just told Titus to do? He said, when these men come to you at Crete, when these men come, you get ready to leave, make sure they don't need a thing. You fill them up with food. If they need clothing, if they need any little thing, you supply their needs. That's what he's told Titus to do. Titus, You be very diligent to bring them on their journey. And make sure that there's nothing, make sure there's nothing wanting unto them. Not a thing. Make sure there's not a thing that they are without. They need whatever it is. Brother, you see to it that they get it. Amen? Now, that's how they acted in those days. It was an act, we'll say hospitality, but it was Christian hospitality. Whatever these men need, you see to it that their needs are met. Amen? And brother, can I tell you, hey, that's a blessing. When you see people that are in need, when you see people that are doing Christian work, when you see, he says, look, make sure they don't need anything. And then you notice how he gets into verse number 14. And let ours, in other words, let the other folks that are there that are Christians, let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses. He says, in other words, hey, you know what you ought to do? You ought to show them and give them the faithful exhortation. You ought to tell them and say, hey, we got a couple of guys coming in, and they've been on the journey, and I don't know what kind of shape they're going to be on. Somebody better make sure they got a place to stay. Y'all make sure they got some food cooked. Y'all make sure that everything, you get your hospitality shoes on, and when these men come, oh, we don't know them, preacher. It don't matter whether you know them or not. They're God's men. When they come in, let's treat them with respect, with dignity, with help, with blessing, with everything we can do. Let's be a blessing to these men. Amen? I mean, that's what he's saying. He's saying, look, let's teach our folks. And he's saying, Titus, I'm expecting you to give them, your people there, the people of Crete, our people, he says, let ours also understand. He said, you faithfully exhort them. He said, you know how you do that? You know how Paul is instructing Titus to do it? Well, by this, be a faithful example to them. Amen? He says, when they come, you make sure of these things. Isn't that what he said there in verse number 13? He says, you bring them on their journey. You go with them personally. You accompany them. You say, fellas, I'm here to be your guide. I'm here to be your help. I'm here to be whatever you need to me to be. I'm here to help you. Amen? Amen. I mean, that's real Christian hospitality, isn't it? When you say, we're here, and guess what? We're at your disposal. You need anything? Quarters comfortable? Do you need a blanket? Need a different pillow? Need some more food? What do you need? And I believe he's telling Titus, you faithfully exhort the people, but I want you to be a faithful example to them. You get ready to lead these men. You get ready to help them on their journey, and you make sure that you're doing all you can so that they need nothing. You be that faithful example. You know where we're at today? Man, people love to tell you, well, I think we ought to do this. Well, praise God, let's put you in charge. Oh, no, I want it done, but I don't want to do it. Say amen right there, y'all, because that's where we are a lot of times. Amen? I mean, a lot of folks think up a lot of good ideas for stuff to do, but you do it. I don't want to do it. Hey, if something needs to be done, go ahead and grab bull by the horns and do it. Amen? And that's what Paul is telling Titus here. You be diligent to bring them. You help them. You make sure. He said, you be the faithful example. And then last of all, he says, because that will lead people into a fruitful experience. You see what he says? He said, let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary use, that they be not unfruitful. Be not unfruitful. Man, isn't that a blessing? Look over in Philippians with me in the very last chapter of Philippians, if you will. And notice Paul is talking to this church in Philippi, and listen to what he says in chapter 4, verse number 15. Well, back up verse number 14, chapter 4, verse 14. He said, notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Paul said, now, as a church, You people have communicated with me in my affliction. If you know, if you want to go back and read that, you can see where Paul says, man, I know how to have and have not, eat and eat not, be in the cold, be in the hot, be taken care of and not be taken. He said, I just found out whatever state I'm in, I'm content, right? But then he says, notwithstanding all of that being said, he said, you have done well because you did communicate with my affliction. He said, now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. He said, for even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessity. Listen to this. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound on your account. You see what Paul said? He said, it's not so much about giving me something that I say, boy, I need this. You know, I want this. He said, it's not so much that. He said, it puts fruit on your account when you do that. Amen? I mean, listen, there have been times, I remember when I was a whole lot younger preacher, I'd go to these little old churches, and there'd be some little old granny come up, and she's, you know, walking on her cane, and she reaches out, and she tried to hand me a $20 bill. I've looked at them a lot of times, and I thought, sister, you need this a whole lot more than I do, and I try to give it back to her. I said, I don't want that. You keep it. No, you take it. I want to give it to you. And you could look at people, and you think, man, as I said, you say, man, they need this a whole lot more than I do. But you know what some dear wise old preacher told me? He said, go ahead and take it. And I said, man, I hate to do that. He said, yeah, but you're robbing them a blessing, the blessing of giving. Do you know that? If they want to give, and God's done that for them, and God will take care of them. Amen? He'll take care of them. Trust me, God always takes care of his children. Amen? So I'm just telling you, just bless others. I mean, bless them all that you can bless. Just give and give and give some more and do and be a blessing, amen, in whatever you do. And thank God, you know what? There'll be some fruit on your account. Paul said, I really don't say that I'm doing it because I'm desiring a gift from you. Boy, how would that go over today on the TV evangelist crew? Amen? Send me $1,000 and I'll give you a handkerchief that I've squalled over and slobbered on and everything else, right? Amen? But Paul said, I'm not wanting your $1,000, but if you want to send it, and God will bless you and we'll use it for the ministry, we'll do something with it. He said, I'm not trying to find anything for me. Amen? And that's what he's telling these folks. Paul says, look, if you'll be that example, if you'll give them that exhortation about being faithful, he said, then that will give them a fruitful experience in their life. You and I desire that fruitful experience in our life. When God does something, man, just listen to him and say, Lord, I'm going to do my best. I'm going to give it my all. I'm going to be as much of a blessing as I can to your name and to your people. Amen? So those are fruitful friends. And then look at one last thing. Let's talk about fellowshipping friends. Look in verse number 15. Paul winds this whole thing up with this last little sentence or two. He says, all that are with me salute thee. Greet them that love us in the faith. Grace be unto you all. Amen. Boy, that's a great little ending there to me. Paul talks about some fellowshipping friends. First of all, he says, hey, we want to send you a hug from the people. We want to send you a hug from the people. Can you believe that? Paul says, look, everybody that's here with me, all that are with me, salute thee. And that word salute is the word that we understand as to greet or to welcome. Or it really has the ideas of outstretched arms reaching around to give a hug. Amen? And that's what Paul says. He says, everybody here. Can you imagine that? Paul is sitting here, and usually Paul is dictating these things. He'll have a secretary, and he'll say, write this. They're writing all this stuff down. And as they're writing, there's a crowd around. I mean, Paul's not by himself. He said, write this and tell them then, blah, 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 blah. And they go on through everything. They get down to the end of it, and he says, Anybody here got anything y'all want to tell? Everyone said, y'all tell them we said hey. Amen. Well, they probably didn't say that, but they did say, please send them the greeting from every one of us. And it's a warm greeting. It's a, you know, you ever done that? Well, y'all have. Y'all been at the house. I know you've been at your house, and you've been talking to somebody that's off somewhere, and you're on your cell phone, and somebody on that cell phone says, well, who all's there? You say, oh, Bill and Mary and Joe and Alice and Bob and Grandma and Grandpa. All the, y'all say hi, and they hold up your phone, and everybody, hey, how you doing? That's exactly what Paul is doing right here. He said, all of those that are with me, every one of them, send a warm and loving salute to you. We want to just send you a hug from over here where we are. Amen. I mean, hey, these are some folks that want a fellowship. These are the people that's been praying with Paul for them. These are the people that's been standing. These are the people that's been ministering. These are the people that's been working. These are the people that's been helping all they can help for these folks that are distant miles away. But yet they love them and they want them to know, hey, we're here and we're here for you. Amen? So he says, look, here's a little hug. In my notes, I've got it written down. A hug from the peeps. Amen. I thought, well, I better put people on there, you know. But this is a hug from the peeps, all right? And second of all, notice this, that you see the heart of the pastor, as Paul says this. He says, all them that are with me, salute thee. But look what he says. Greet them that love us in the faith. Paul said, I just want you to know, as the pastor, as the founder, as the establisher of that church, he said, I want you to know there's a group of people there that love me. And I know they love me. They've told me, and I've been there on those occasions, and they've expressed that love. He said, I tell you, greet them just particularly for me. Just love on them and encourage them. Bless them. And I'm telling you, old Titus is probably reading this, and he goes into the next meeting of the church. He said, folks, can I tell you, Paul sent us a letter, and I want to tell you what the letter said. He said, but let me tell you, let me start at the end. All them that are with me salute thee. He said, but then listen, as Paul gets better, he says, greet them that love us in the faith. Paul is saying, folks, he wants to come over here and hug your neck, shake your hand, and just smile real big at y'all. Amen? I mean, Paul says, this is the heart. This is my heart. This is the heart that I have for these people and that I know that they love me too. Amen? The heart of the pastor. And then last of all, you notice that he says in the very last line, grace be with you all. And that is the hope of the prayer. The assurance of this whole thing is this. Amen? Paul has all of these greetings and these things that he says, but it's this last thing, grace be with you all. Do you know, realize in the original Greek, and it's probably in your Bible, isn't it, when he says grace, if you'll look in your Bible, that word be is italicized. It says grace be, and in my Bible, probably in yours, it's italicized. The type is different. Grace be with you all. That word be is not really there. There is no verb in the Greek for that. All right? There's really, it just says grace with you all. And what that means is this. The idea of it is, Paul says, I want grace to be in the midst of you all. Grace in the midst of you all. I mean, he is praying this prayer, really, for them and says, may you experience and know and have the favor and the love of God that comes only through knowing His amazing grace. Amen? Boy, isn't that a blessing? Paul ends this thing out in such a way. Grace be with you all. You can I tell you this? If you look back in the very beginning, you know what he says? He says, man, he gives his standard introduction in verse number 1. Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, and he goes on through there in the hope of eternal life, verse 2, but had in these times manifested his word, da-da-da-da-da. Look what he says. To Titus, mine own son, after the common faith. Look at the very first thing that he says. Grace. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father. And then look how he ends it up. Grace be with you all. Starts out with grace. It starts out with grace just particularly to Titus. But he ends it up with grace to everybody that Titus may inform and read that letter to or tell them about. Man, I'm telling you, that's the way your Christian life is too. You know that? It starts out with grace, for by grace are you saved. And one of these days it's going to end up in grace, because the Lord's graciously coming to get me and you in somewhere or another. Amen? Hey, we're starting out grace. We're going home in grace. But we're going to live all the meanwhile in and by the grace of God. Amen? I hope and trust that you have that in your heart tonight. Brother Ronnie, come on. Let's get ready to sing a verse of a song, if you would, tonight. Paul.